This morning, we are wrapping up this series that we've been in called Risky Business. It's been incredible. In fact, if today is your first Sunday with us, I would encourage you to go back and take a look at the last 3 weeks, because we've had a lot of fun together. But basically, what we've been talking about to kind of catch all of us up is this tendency that we all have, whether we consider ourselves risk takers or not, whether we feel like we kind of live life on the edge or we call ourselves daredevils or not. We all have this tendency to kind of want to play it safe when it comes to life. We have this tendency to want to play it safe when it comes to those opportunities in life. We want to kind of live in that place where we feel like we can kind of control our world, or where life feels predictable. And honestly, what we've talked about is how we create these boxes with our lives where honestly things just feel safe. And we've talked about how not a one of us is immune to this. Even Jesus followers, this is something every single one of us who considers ourselves a follower of Jesus often struggles with as well. In fact, we can be the worst at this because we turn God into kind of this risk aversion plan. And we think that God's ultimate plan for us is for us to be safe. And what we've talked about is how it's a really powerful emotion that causes us to crave safety. We've said that it's fear that ultimately causes every single one of us to crave the more safe or more predictable things in life. And we've talked about how fear, even when we decide to step through it or step over it or kind of step past it, fear is not an emotion that we conquer once and then it's like over with and we never have to deal with it again. Unfortunately, fear is one of those emotions that just oftentimes and almost in every season or situation kind of rears its head, and we never fully and finally conquer fear. And so today we're going to wrap up in kind of a really unique way. I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to surprise you or anything, but we're going to give some of you the opportunity to actually practice stepping past your fear. We're going to give some of you the opportunity to actually practice stepping out of those safe little boxes that we like to create and do something that maybe would make you feel uncomfortable ordinarily. But before we get there, I want us to take one last look this morning at this emotion that we call fear. Because fear really is a powerful, powerful emotion. In fact, fear is so powerful. Fear can impact us in so many ways that fear doesn't even have to be rational to impact us. In fact, the fears that impact us the most are often the most irrational fears. For instance, for me, I have this insanely unhealthy, irrational fear of snakes. Now, none of you bring a snake to this place later to mess with me, because I'm telling you, I've never had a bad experience with snakes. I've just never had an experience with snakes. I don't like them. I don't want any part of them. I'm the dad who won't take his kids into the reptile exhibit at the zoo, because I'm convinced all the snakes are going to get out at once. And if it happened, I would be frozen in fear and would not be able to move. But a couple of years ago, my little girl and I, Hallie, she was about 7 years old at the time. She was literally like this big. We're walking through the woods. She wanted to go on this hike, and we're having a great time. And sure enough, y'all, a snake slithers out on the left, like side of the path. Guys, I jumped over my daughter to get behind her. I screamed like a little girl to get behind my daughter. I literally thought for a moment, I could push her down, and then she would have to deal with the snake and I could get away from the snake. I mean, that's how terrified I am of them, and it's completely irrational. And all of us have them. In fact, statistically, you may not know this, statistically, in this room, most of you are more afraid of public speaking than you are of dying. Which means, if given the opportunity, statistically speaking, most of you would rather die this morning than trade places with me. Which is crazy to think about, right? But that's what fear does to us. It causes us to kind of just go to the extreme. It causes us to do crazy, crazy, silly things. But this morning, I want us to talk about one particular fear as we kind of wrap up this series. It is the fear that I think does more to keep us in those boxes that we create with our lives than any other fear. Now, it's kind of hard to identify. It's a kind of a fear that runs underneath the surface. It kind of stays hidden, but it's there in every single one of us. It's not the fear of failure, although that's powerful for a lot of us. It's not the fear of pain, although that can be a major deterrent as well. But I think the fear that does more to keep us in our boxes, I think the fear that causes us to play it safe more than any other fear, is the fear of rejection. Or if you consider yourself a Bible reader, maybe you've seen it in the New Testament or the Old Testament written as the fear of man or the fear of mankind. And basically what this fear is it's the desire that's in every single one of us, where we want so badly for people to think that we're okay that we won't show any of our flaws. We want so badly to fit in that we hide all of our faults and we try to kind of look like that person that we think everybody wants us to be. And honestly, this fear will drive us to do some crazy, crazy things. Some of them really bad, some of them just kind of honestly rather silly. In fact, if you want to see the more silly side of this fear, pull out your phone this afternoon and scroll back as far as you can in your pictures. Or better yet, if you're still able to, maybe go to your grandmother's house and like pull out an actual photo album and look at some of the ways you used to do your hair. Look at some of the clothes you used to wear. Every single one of us has I want to fit in jeans. Every single one of us has the I want to fit in shoes. Look, spend some time with your checking account and look at all the ways that we want to fit in. I mean, we will drive things, we will own things, we will live in things, we will enroll our kids in places, all in the name of fitting in, just so people will think a certain thing about us, or we will just kind of feel like we fit the mold that we're supposed to fit. I mean, social media is built off of this, right? It's why there are 1,000 filters on Instagram. It's why some of you will take 20 pictures before you post one, because you want everybody to think you're at the perfect place, eating the perfect food and, you know, hanging out with all the right people. We all do this. And it's not just younger people. In fact, some of you, this is why your mom and dad cannot get out of bed before they check Facebook, because they want to know that they're staying ahead of the curve, that they're fitting in, that they're keeping up with the Joneses, if you will. This is the fear of rejection. This is the fear of mankind. And it doesn't feel like a fear, but it really, really, really has a powerful impact on us and can affect us in some crazy, crazy ways. But here's the thing. Like, it's not new to us. This wasn't invented with social media. In fact, this fear came along a long, 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 long time ago. In fact, this fear started to exist the first time man showed up on earth. In fact, this morning, I want us to go kind of way back in time together. I want us to go way back in history, about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. I want us to go back way back and kind of look at one of the ancient kings of Israel. Because this ancient king of Israel had something really powerful to say about this fear and really how we could overcome it and how we can get past this particular fear so that we can move towards the incredible, incredible opportunities that await us in life. This king's name was Solomon. And many people throughout history have said that Solomon might have been the wisest person who ever lived. But Solomon had a ton to say about this fear, and I think his words are super appropriate. And for you to kind of understand why Solomon has something so important to say about this, I want to kind of give you a little context about Solomon's life. You see, Solomon took over the kingdom for one of the most famous kings in Israel. He took over the kingdom from his dad, whose name was David. And most people believe that David was the greatest king that Israel had ever had. But Solomon didn't just inherit the kingdom at like a normal time in life. Solomon took over the kingdom when he was probably about 15 years old. So try to imagine this. You're 15, which, by the way, do we know any 15-year-olds who don't struggle with insecurity and don't struggle with this fear? Now you're the king of Israel. You've taken over for your dad. You have all these really old, like incredibly wise advisors who are telling you what to do, yet you're trying to kind of figure out your way in life and you want to kind of make your stamp or make your mark. At the same time, you're trying to rule this nation. And oh, by the way, God has asked you to do something special for him. God wants you to build his first permanent temple. And if you can kind of get your mind around what it might be like to be 15 years old and dealing with all of that, I think you can start to understand why Solomon's words are so important. In fact, Solomon, as an old man, wrote this kind of looking back on his life as he thought about this particular fear in his life. And he says in Proverbs chapter 29, he says, "The fear of man," and that's what we've been talking about, literally being afraid of people or being afraid of those around us to the point that we care so much about what they think, that we literally can become afraid of them. And it doesn't, we wouldn't identify it as being afraid of them, but what it is we care so much about what they think that we let their opinion drive us. He says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. And I love how he says it will prove to be, because I think if we were all honest, it doesn't feel that way at first, right? Like the drive to fit in doesn't actually feel like a bad thing at first. We all probably actually kind of like it. It kind of makes us feel smart. Like it makes us feel included. Like we're just being one of the guys. We're just on the team. We're just trying to fit in and be like everybody else. And Solomon would say, well, here's the problem with that. Once you start living for the approval of others, what happens is you start giving more and more and more and more and more of yourself away until eventually you're in a trap. And the trap that you're in is that all of a sudden you're discovering that you're becoming just a shell of the person that you used to be, or a shell of the person that you were created to be. And now you're becoming some version of some person that everybody wants you to be. And now all of a sudden you're stuck because you're losing who you really are, because you're so worried about what other people might think. And then he begins to give us this antidote. He says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord. And I think we all know what that word trust means. I mean, we know that trust means that we can rely on something, or that we can depend on it, or that we can have confidence in it. But if we were to all be honest this morning, doesn't that word trust kind of get complicated when we start thinking about it in context of trusting God? Or trusting in the Lord? Doesn't it start to kind of get fuzzy and mushy, and all of a sudden we kind of lose grip on what the word trust means? And basically what Solomon is saying is that, hey, here's what I mean when I say you can trust in the Lord. Basically that because of his character, because of his competence, because of his wisdom and his knowledge and his power, because of who he is, he's worthy of your confidence. You can rely on him. You can depend on him. And basically he's saying that trusting God because of his wisdom and because of his power is more important and should be the priority of our life. And it is so much more important than trying to please the people that we so desperately want to please. And ultimately he gives us the reason. He says, because the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And I love this phrase, and we don't normally do this here, but if you were to kind of take that phrase and take it back to its original language, I love what that phrase, kept safe, means. It literally means to be set on high, to be set in a place on high where you are safe and secure. And in other words, what Solomon is saying is that those who place their trust in God, those who rely on God, can do so with confidence because they know they are relying on someone who, no matter how it turns out, no matter what's happening in life, no matter what failure they may face, no matter what rejection they may face, no matter what fear may come their way, no matter how it may turn out, they know they are set in a place of safety. They know they are set on a place on high, even in the midst of their most vulnerable moments. And this is what's so cool to me, because I feel like we're right back where we started in week two when we said you'll never know God is trustworthy enough until you're willing to trust him. And Solomon is saying that fear, in this case, that the fear of rejection convinces us that in order to fit in, we have to try to play it safe. We have to put ourselves in that place where we look like everybody wants us to look, so that other people will think that we're all right. And so we just kind of make these boxes with our lives, and we do this to protect ourselves so that we'll fit in, and so that people will think we've got it all together. And so we'll kind of look like or fit this mold that we feel like everybody wants us to look like. And the whole time we've actually got this whole thing wrong. We've got the whole thing backwards, because our confidence is in ourselves, and our confidence is in other people's opinion, and our confidence is ultimately misplaced. And Solomon is saying, hey, instead, you're to place your confidence in God instead of in others. And then ultimately, God's going to do something that seems so counterintuitive, and God's going to do something that scares us to death. God is going to ask us to step out of that place that makes us feel so safe. He's going to ask us to step out of the box where we feel like we're stepping into something that's risky, where we feel like we're stepping into the unknown. And in that place where we feel most vulnerable, we're going to discover that he has actually set us in a place where we are most safe, where we're literally set on high in a place where everything may be going wrong, but we will find that we are most safe because we are right where he wants us. Now, let's just kind of be real with one another for just a moment as we kind of wrap up this series. When we go back and we look at old photos, or we think about our bank accounts, or we think about social media, like, it can be kind of funny to look at old hairstyles, right? It can be kind of funny to look at old clothing styles and to think about the way that this fear impacts us, or this fear kind of gets a hold of us. But the fear of rejection affects us in much more serious ways when it starts to impact and it starts to affect our willingness to follow Jesus. So this morning, let me ask you a question once again that we've been wrestling with throughout this series, and it's a question I hope that you've been thinking about, and I hope that you've been kind of sitting with throughout the last couple of weeks. Where is Jesus asking you to take a step with him? Where is Jesus asking you to take a step towards him? And as you wrestle with this question, here's what I want you to know about myself, and this may not be true of you, but here's what I've noticed about me. That there are times that I honestly just don't want to take that step. There are times that I honestly just don't want to obey him. There are times that, if I were to be completely honest, it's just harder than it should be to follow Jesus. And here's what I have found in my own life to be consistent about every single one of those moments. When I'm willing to dig in, and I'm willing to look and try to get underneath what it is that's making it harder for me to want to follow, what's making it harder than it should be for me to want to trust or obey, what I usually find underneath all of that is fear. And what I usually find when I do the hard work is what I'm ultimately afraid of, is I'm afraid of what other people might think. And I imagine this morning, if we were to just get really honest for a second, I imagine this morning that for more than a few of us sitting in here today, the step that Jesus ultimately wants us to take, the step that Jesus is ultimately calling us to, is a step to trust him more than we fear mankind. Sure, it might be disguised in a job move or a job transition or a relationship change or a relocation, or it might be disguised in a habit that needs broken or something like that. But I bet ultimately, if you were to get underneath all of that, what it is Jesus is asking you, and he's asking me, do you trust me more than you fear what other people might think? And that scares us, doesn't it? That scares us more than we might be willing to admit, which makes perfect sense, because the fear of rejection, or the fear of other people, or the fear to fit in, however you want to kind of describe that fear, what it does is it attacks our faith. It makes me unwilling to step out, and it causes me to be hesitant about anything that would make my faith more public. Which again, it makes perfect sense, especially in a community like ours, which is so incredible. Because the last thing any of us want to do is be misunderstood. The last thing any of us want to do is to be associated with a religion that has so rightly earned the stereotype of hypocritical and judgmental, even though that's not at all what Jesus started. That has nothing to do with the movement he created. We kind of push back on that because none of us want to be misunderstood. And I get that. I live with that same tension every single day. But here's what I hope we can all take away from this. Here's what I hope we could all walk out of here with today. I believe Jesus is asking us to trust him enough to be willing to obey him in spite of all of that. in spite of what the step might look like, in spite of what other people might think. In fact, I believe he wants nothing more than for us to practice taking courageous steps with him, because I believe that courageously responding to Jesus can break the power of fear in our lives. In fact, I believe that just one simple, small act of courage can have a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous impact on our lives, not only in the moment, but I believe it can have such an impact that it impacts generations and generations and generations of people. And today, I want to invite you to practice doing this. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to take a courageous step of obedience. I want to invite you to obey Jesus, even if and even when it makes you afraid. Right before Jesus left the earth, right after his resurrection, right before he ascended back to heaven to be with his heavenly Father, when his disciples were most afraid, when life just did not make sense, when the plan was not working out, sure, he had been resurrected, but he was now leaving again. He was not setting up a kingdom. This is not what they wanted. Nothing made sense. Into that fear, into that chaos, Jesus gave them one last command. And he looked at his disciples, he looked at his closest followers, and he said, "This movement hinges on you. And therefore, I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples of all the nations. And the way I want you to do this is I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And in that moment, into their fear, when they were most terrified, Jesus reached way back and he grabbed hold of this ancient ritual called baptism. A ritual that he had modeled for them, something that he had practiced in his own life. And he reached way back in time and he grabbed this ancient ritual and he said, "I want this ritual to apply to my followers. I want this to be a symbol to people. I want this to be the way you publicly communicate some private decision that you have made to trust me as your Savior." And that's what I want to invite some of you to do today. It's what every follower of Jesus should do after they trust him as their Savior. I want to invite some of you to get baptized today. I want to give you the opportunity to step out in a way that will show you how powerful it can be to take a small, courageous, bold step with Jesus, even in the midst of your fear, even when it causes you to be uncomfortable. Very simply, if you're not familiar, baptism is a visible act that represents or illustrates an inward spiritual reality. We baptize people by placing them underwater. Think about it this way. When you lay back and go underwater, it's like you saying, "Hey, I want to die to myself. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live afraid. I don't want to be in bondage to anything anymore. I want to give my life to Jesus." And when you come back up out of the water, it symbolizes, just like Jesus raising from the dead, it symbolizes you saying, "Hey, I want to walk a new life. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to trust him. I want to know that he is trustworthy. I want to know that I can obey him." And it is for every single person who has ever trusted Jesus or put his or her faith in Jesus as Savior. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning and that's the phrase that you've never heard of, or that's the phrase that makes you uncomfortable. Put your faith in Jesus as Savior. And here's what that means, very simply. Very simply, we believe that every single one of us was born in sin. We were born sinful. That sin came with a penalty. That penalty was separation from God and death. But God provided an amazing, amazing solution. God sent his son, Jesus, to live a perfect life and to die in our place. Think of it this way. Jesus died the death we were supposed to die so that we could live the life he was supposed to live. It's a trade. He wants to trade places with us. He offers us life instead of death. In fact, some of you have wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with this trade your entire life. You have gone back and forth on this idea of, do I trust him? Do I not trust him? Do I follow him? Do I not follow him? And today could be the day that you settle all of that once and for all. Today could be the day that you publicly, in an incredible, incredible, courageous act, stand before people and say, "I know for certain that Jesus is my Savior. I know for certain that I have followed him and that I can trust him no matter what." For others of you, you've been sitting here over the last couple of weeks And slowly that kind of light has been going on and off in your head, and for the first time it's all starting to make sense, and for the first time you're realizing that you would like to put your faith in Jesus as Savior, and I want to give you the opportunity to do that in just a few minutes. If you've been sitting here and you've been thinking, you know what, I want to make that trade. I want to trade my life for his life so that I can have a life to the full, so that I can have a life everlasting. Today could be the day you do that. But here's the thing. For every single one of us in this room, today could be a day. Whether you've already been baptized and this is not the next step for you, or whether today is the day you want to do this and you want to get baptized, today could be the day that every single one of us looks back on. Almost as a marker when we say, I remember the way God showed up on that day. I remember how so many people trusted him in such a public way, and no matter what I'm facing all these years later, I am reminded of that day, and I'm reminded of the fact that he is trustworthy and I can obey him no matter what. I can trust him even in the midst of what I'm facing. I can trust him again. I can trust him today. Now, come on, I understand. Not a one of you came dressed for baptism. Not a one of you came ready for this, right? You're thinking, man, this is quick, and I did not come here planning for this. Well, I've got really good news for you. We planned for this. We planned for this for you. We have full sets of clothing for you to get baptized in. We have hair dryers. We have curling irons. We have brushes. We have hair products. We have literally everything and anything you could want. In fact, we have a team of volunteers set aside. There is a Target right down the road. If you require something so specialized and you're allowing that to get in your way of getting baptized, we will send people to Target for you. I will pay for it. We will pay for it. We don't want anything to get in the way. We want to make this as easy as possible for you. We have everything figured out so that you can take this step if this is the right next step for you. Others of you may be sitting here and you're thinking, Tinsley, this is a really big deal. Like, my family's not here. I'm not prepared. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. Well, I'm so glad you're thinking about that. We've thought about that as well. You may have noticed, we have hired a slew of photographers. We have hired professional videographers. We are going to film you getting baptized so that you can share it with all of your friends and all of your family. You are going to have an incredible, incredible baptism video. In fact, speaking of video, some of you know that normally to get baptized, we require you to film your story before you get baptized. And you're terrified to do that. You've allowed that to keep you from getting baptized. Today only. No story video. If that's been holding you back, today is your day. It will never get easier than right now. We have photographers. They are going to take action shots of you getting baptized. You will look amazing going in and coming out of the water. We have volunteers who are set aside. They will take your phone and take as many pictures with your phone as you want. We have your kids taken care of. If you have shown up today with somebody, you got a security card to pick up your kid. You can give that security card to the person you came with. They can go get your kids, and in just a minute, them and your kids will meet you outside, and they will celebrate with you as you get baptized. If you don't want your kids to see it, we have volunteers set up to watch your kids while you get baptized. I'm telling you, we've thought of everything. We have this figured out. Here's the thing. We are 100% ready for this to be an unforgettable day, but I'm telling you, there's one thing we can't do for you. I can't step over the fear for you. Will you allow fear to stand in the way? Will you allow fear to have one more moment of your life? Or will you step past fear so that you can do what you know needs to be done today? Please don't put this off. And here's the good news. Somebody's getting baptized today. I believe it. We have worked really hard. We have set this up. I believe somebody is getting baptized. So here's how we're going to do this. Today is not for kids. Today is for high schoolers and up. We have a whole process for kids. We don't want to add confusion to them. Today is for anybody in high school or up. The band is going to go ahead and start making their way back to the stage. We're not going to drag this out. We're not going to be here all day. We're not going to do anything too weird. We're going to sing just a couple of songs. In a minute, we're all going to stand and we're going to sing together. And if you would like to take this step, If you know this is the next step for you while we are singing, all I want you to do is just make your way down front. And as you make your way down front, I want you to exit right here to my left and to your right. We have a team of volunteers set up. You're going to walk out into the parking lot. Our volunteers are going to walk you through the process. We have coaches that are going to meet with you. They're going to talk with you, help you make sure that this is the best next step for you. We are ready for you. If you came with somebody, don't worry. They can wait right here, because while you're getting ready, we're going to finish up. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to dismiss in here, and we're all going to walk right out back to our yellow awning, our main entrance. We are set up, and we're all going to celebrate with you as you take an incredible, incredible, incredible step in your faith journey, and we're going to cheer you on while you get baptized. But hear me. Listen to me. This first step is up to you. Don't let fear win. Come on, the fear of others can keep us from doing what God wants us to do, and that is so crazy. Do not let fear have one more moment of your life. You can take a step today. You can take a step of obedience today, and I can believe you can begin to see what God wants to do in your life as he begins to help you overpower fear, but he's not gonna force you. The first step is up to you. So as we get ready to sing, as we get ready to stand, as soon as we start singing, if you know this is a step for you, just come on. Come on down front. Exit out right here. And then we're going to celebrate like crazy.